Welcome to the Choosing Happiness podcast with me, your host, Rudrani Devi, the Happiness Lady. Well, howdy, y'all. Rudrani Devi, the Happiness Lady. That's right. You heard it from me first. I am the author of, Choosing Happiness, an uncommon way to find joy in your life, speaks 8 languages. There's my shameless plug, my 3rd best-selling book. So by all means, don't go out and purchase that book for yourself. Or maybe you know someone else who's cranky pants and you could share it with them. So without further ado, though, because we're not here to talk about this book. I just met this man, brilliant connector and genius internet dude. I mean, and he knows a lot about people. He's a people man, I'm going to say. We met because I signed up for one of his free talks and was so impressed by him that it gave me a new perspective on how to actually engage with people. And then he reaches out to me and I had to compliment him. And before I know it, I'm asking him to be on my podcast because I think y'all need to know a little bit more about it. So, Mr. Frank Agin, did I say that right?
You did great. You did great, Rue.
Agin. Because it's tricky, y'all. He spells his name A-G-I-N for those of you that are not on YouTube and are listening in your car or wherever you happen to be on the other platforms. I was like, dude, how do you say your name? So without further ado, please introduce yourself. Tell the peeps all about you, all the things, what you do, all your beliefs.
Yeah, okay. That could be tricky. Yeah, my name is Frank Agin, and I run an organization called AmSpirit Business Connections. And what we do is we create groups of entrepreneurs, sales reps, and professionals that meet on a regular basis, usually weekly, to learn about each other and exchange referrals. But my backstory is that's my organization. I used to be an attorney. I had a great job as a tax attorney. Great job, great pay. Except I didn't want to do taxes for the rest of my life, Rue. Please forgive me.
So much fun.
Yeah. Well, and this is me. I'm a people person. I mean, I'm an introvert. I mean, I like to spend a lot of time alone, but I do like people. And so I left to go into private practice. And a funny thing happened when I went into private practice. And the funny thing was that nothing happened. I had no idea how to get clients. They don't teach you that in school. They don't teach you that in when you work for the big firms, it just all comes in, So I struggled for a few weeks and then at one point had an opportunity to, was introduced to an opportunity, a networking group. I'll make a long story really short, but I had an opportunity to get involved and it made perfect sense for me. I got involved and I then bought the organization.
Oh, wow.
6 years later. So I stopped practicing law at that point and just decided I was going to be a student in networking and really understand why relationships work. And the difference between a personal relationship and a professional relationship is really nothing. When we feel betrayed, we feel the same things. Mm-hmm. We're happy in personal. When we have great days in personal life, we're happy. Same thing in business. And why people get referrals and why people don't get referrals. And I think that was the program you attended, talking about, the title of it is Why Am I Not Getting Referrals? And I want people to understand how to get referrals. So I run that organization, but I do speaking on it. I'll work with people one-on-one. But I do as a part of, my give back or just being out in the world. Is do these programs where I just share tidbits of what I know and I seem to have made a difference with you. It hit with you. And I think that's good. I can't impact everybody, but if every time I speak, I impact a few people, then it starts to add up over time.
Well, you had, you also had clients on the call. I noticed, it was very well attended. People asked very smart questions. The PowerPoint was amazing. Now I know why if you're gonna be an attorney, any type of attorney, you've got to have the gift of gab. You've got to know, you got to make sense and all the things. And you articulated so well.
Thank you.
What it takes to actually get referrals. Can you speak a little bit about that? I mean, do you notice that you have to sort of be a certain type of person to be able to create that?
No, I don't think so. Well, yes, you do. And you got to care about people. So people, I mean, it's I tell well, I'll just back up. I tell people there are three reasons you don't get referrals, and only three reasons, right? And the first is you don't have a relationship. People don't know you, they don't like you, they don't trust you. And I don't mean that in a horrible way, but if a financial advisor is reaching out to you three states away on Zoom or on LinkedIn and saying, I want to be your advisor, you don't know that person. They could be the best financial advisor in the world. You don't have a relationship with them. And so you have to get to know them and get to like them and figure out if you're going to trust them, and that's a, so that's a big piece, that people need to tackle. And for the most part, people are good people and they're able to develop relationships. The second reason why people don't get referrals is they do a poor job of getting people to recognize opportunities. And
I love that.
I use my dad as an example. He's 90, and I have a good time going sitting with my dad and watching TV. I like to think my dad likes me. I like to think he loves me, right? He got me through college. But in all the years, he's 90 years old, in all these years, he's never given me a referral. Okay.
Just say that about my 90-year-old mother. She is constantly trying to sell me.
Okay. Well,
To
she's trying to,
get,
yeah. But my dad has not given me a referral, and the reason is that as much as he loves me, he doesn't understand what I do.
Oh, okay.
So I use that as a backdrop of saying we have people in our lives who really think the world of us and would love to help us. My dad would love to help me.
So family and friends should be referring you,
Yeah,
right?
but we don't do a good job explaining how to recognize opportunities. When you see this, think of me. When you hear this, think of me. When you notice this, that's when I swing into action. So that's the second reason why people don't get referrals. And then the third reason is we have good relationships and we've done a really good job of explaining to people what we do and they know how to recognize opportunities, but we might not have empowered them with the language to talk about it. Or maybe it's something where it's uncomfortable, like, oh, you have a weight loss clinic. I know lots of people that could be clients. I just don't know how to talk to them, right?
Right. That's
So
funny.
that's something where that person would need to kind of coach and say, well, it's not just weight loss, it's really health and making somebody feel better about themselves. And rather than saying, hey, you need this, why don't you say, hey, you might like this? What do you think?
This could be a contribution to your efforts in weight loss
Yeah.
and your health and all the
Yeah.
other things. Yeah, I get it. So get it. I facilitate a class called Access Bars. And a lot of people think that I'm talking about a place where you're going to go and have drinks,
Yeah.
burger or whatever. And it's so hard for people to actually dialogue what Access Bars is. I mean, and so they sound like they're talking about some kind of hocus pocus. It's like it's 32 points on the head. When you touch them in different groupings, it's like for me, it's like acupressure points. It deletes the cellular memory of thoughts, feelings, and emotions that are keeping you stuck. So it works for people that have PTSD and all of this. Well, of course, I can talk about it because I've been facilitating this
Sure.
since 2011. Three is when I first discovered it, 2003. I've been doing it a long time. I'm one of those people where like the song, and you're probably old enough to remember this, and maybe some of you listening. I'd like to teach the world to sing
Yep,
in
Coca-Cola.
harmony. Well, for me, I'd like to teach everybody a bars class. That's just my props. That's just the way I like to be with it. And I don't care who comes to my class. I don't care if you're a chiropractor or you're a housewife or your brother, your lover, your mother. I don't care who it is. I know that that's something that would benefit everybody. And so finally, a colleague of mine created a video where she did a lot of research and she goes through and articulates very well. And she shows where they actually hook these electrodes to these people's brains while they're getting their bars run. And significantly, you can see the areas of the brain that are now relaxing that were really hypersensitive before.
Right.
So I finally have something to give to people when they say, I don't know how to explain this. I said, well, you don't have to. Play this. Say, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
You turn me on to this. And so, but I get what you're talking about. It's really difficult. I mean, my mother has it easy because she's a piano teacher And anytime she sees anybody or meets anybody that has a band or is recording or is an artist, she goes, you should really hire my daughter. She's amazing with background vocals. She never plugs me as a lead singer, but yeah. She doesn't understand how I can hear harmonies where nobody else can, you know? And so I have a little help because she does understand, but your father, you know, he's about, yeah, he does some kind of, I don't know, coaching people.
Well, he doesn't, you know, and that's, but that was never our relationship, right? He was a college professor and we just didn't, we talked football, we talked science, we talked, you know, and, but we have people in our lives that care about us and we just haven't enabled them to help us.
Right.
And that's really where, you know, and you know, Rue, it breaks my heart to see people who are really good business types, very competent, but they end up struggling or walking away from it altogether, going and getting a job or, you know, not reaching their potential because they know their material so well. And I always pick on realtors because we kind of understand what they're about. I tease about it, but we, you know, everybody knows a realtor helps somebody buy or sell a house, right? Sure. So we understand that. But realtors spend 16 hours a day working in their businesses. They work really hard for their money. They all do.
Mm-hmm. They drink a lot too, I've noticed.
Okay.
I'm playing. I do have a lot of realtor friends though.
Yeah, but they work really hard. So, you know, they spend 16 hours a day and they talk real estate. Mm-hmm. I don't think about it 16 seconds a month. So it's hard for them to, they need to dumb it down. They start throwing around this office jargon, which makes total sense in the office. Mm-hmm. They throw around this office jargon and the rest of us, we just kind of nod our heads.
Right.
And that's what happens is people, but we communicate to people and we think that they understand. And in their mind, they're like, oh, that Rue, she's really smart. I don't know what the hell she's saying, but she's really smart. Well, I don't want to be smart. I want you to understand. I want referrals.
Right.
And so the onus is on me or the realtor or you to dumb it down to a point where people can understand. Mm-hmm. That's my responsibility to get them to understand, not for you to level up your understanding of real estate or bars or whatever else.
Right.
And so that's, you know, that's really the essence of what I try to communicate in that one particular program we were in.
Well, oh my goddess, this conversation is fabulous, but I do have to pay the bills. So I need to take a moment for my sponsor, if you don't mind, Frank, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this. Mandu, y'all, M-A-N-D-U-U. It is not a hair salon for men. It's the electrocution workout to pump you up. Let me explain. So it's like you're wearing a Borg outfit, right? Yours truly loves this workout because it's only 15 minutes. And I can do anything for 15 minutes. And basically the suit has all these little TENS units that are zapping you while you're doing this tiny little motion.
Mandu is a boutique fitness studio concept. And we are actually the first FDA cleared EMS training workout. And what we do essentially is that we will have a client come in. We will hook them up to a whole body EMS suit. And then we perform a workout on a medical grade device called an eFit device. And that device will send an electrical current to their body through electrodes in these suits that we put on them. And this electrical current is just basically stimulating the electrical current that you already have inside your body. So everybody is made up of electrical impulses. It's what helps you walk, helps you move. We're tapping into that and making it stimulate it more to where we can cause a muscle to actually contract involuntarily. So we can actually create resistance without adding a load to the body. So that is why we, as you see online, it always says ultra low impact. It is scientifically proven. It is absolutely ultra low impact.
And we're back and the crowd goes wild. Frank, this has been very enlightening, this conversation. So I kind of want to know now, who are your clients? Like, are they the full spectrum? I mean, we were talking about how, you know, you gave the three reasons why people couldn't get referrals.
Yeah.
And I think we basically ended on the, you know, you're not really trying to level other people up. You just want them to understand. So who are your clients? Are they also doing the same thing in their businesses? Can you give us some examples? I mean, you were talking about real estate and
In the Amp Spirit Business Connection world, my clients are real estate agents, mortgage lenders, attorneys, accountants, certainly coaches and consultants, you know, Main Street America businesses, people who are out there and they need to make sales. They need to have referrals. Those are mainly, they're considered members in the organization. But I also have people who work with me individually. You know, they may not fit in the organization or they might need extra help. We'll just kind of take a deep dive into not just their messaging, but it might be their strategy around how they're networking. One of the talks I do on Alignable and is called The Five Big Misses in Networking. And I use golf as an analogy. And,
oh, cool.
And that people go into a networking event and they're there and right away they're, hey, who do you know here who could spend $20,000 on my program? You know, right. And that's the equivalent of sinking a hole in one from 400 yards out. It's not going to happen. And so what I do is I kind of sequence through, you know, this is how to look at networking, look at it like a game of golf. So at any rate, I'll have people who, for whatever reason, can't see it or can't understand, well, how does that strategy work for me? And we'll just, you know, have a handful of sessions where this is what we're going to do. We're going to package this way and I'll keep them accountable. You know, I'm not a coach in the sense that I'm not patient. I'm not going to ask a lot of questions and hope you come up with the solution. I'm just going to say, this is what I see. And this is what I think. And this is what I, you know you should be doing. Mm-hmm. Let's just get after it. And we'll course correct, depending upon what happens. So I'll work with people like that as well.
So you're giving them the dance steps more or less.
Yeah.
To build on, because a lot of people don't know how to, they know their job.
Yeah.
They know it inside out, but how do they basically market themselves? You know, it's like, if I believe in something like Mandu, my sponsor, if I believe in something, I can sell. Now my hairdresser, I've talked about it so many times. I was talking to her yesterday and she goes, you know, I just need to go do it. I said, hey, the first one's free. Just tell them I sent you. Just go. Give it a try. You'll know in 15 minutes whether you want to go back or not. And you think you're not going to be sore. And, you know, it's like, all I'm doing is this, you know, and then the next day you can't even get out of bed or you can't hold your coffee cup, you know. But it's like that. It's like I'm that person that can sell everything else. But then when I got to sell myself.
Right.
It's a little difficult. I mean, I'm a singer, as you know.
Yep.
Singer-songwriter. I've had some hits. I've had some misses. You don't have to ask me once to sing. That's how confident I am about my singing. And I'm a bulldozer, man. Before COVID, I would text the manager at a hotel or at a venue and be like, hey, do you have somebody big coming in on a Friday or Saturday? I'd love to do a 45-minute set. Sure, we have these dates, Rue. Which one do you want? And, you know, we'd pass the thing around to collect money. And each of my guys would get a couple of drinks, you know, from the bar. And I was happy with that. You know, I had other stuff I was doing that made my money. I didn't need the money. I gave it all to them, you know, or whatever was going on and loved it. Well, after COVID, it was about how many YouTube hits do you have on your YouTube? You know, I have like three YouTubes, Frank, because I got my business one. And then I got the music one. And then I had another one that I had started and sort of abandoned some relationship stuff. So anyway, it's just one of those things where I feel like I'm begging to get a gig. And so the old ways aren't working anymore. Have you noticed?
I don't know that the old ways aren't working anymore. It's I guess I haven't noticed because for me, the only way has ever been relationships.
Okay.
You know, it's always been just, you know, I'll get on the phone with people. You and I, 24 hours ago, you and I were talking, right? I mean, this has not been.
I was on my treadmill texting you.
Okay, this has not been a week buildup. This has been literally 24 hours. Mm-hmm. But I have kind of conditioned myself that when I interact with people and learn about them, my mind always asks the question, how can I help this person?
Right.
Or who can this person help? And I mean, I just believe in karma, you know, and a lot of people I help out there won't give me the time of day. If I'm asking for something, but there are enough people out there that are like, yeah, you know, you've helped me. And it's, you know, again, it's, they're not coming forth with $20,000 or anything like right. that, but they're helping me in little ways. Like, oh, you're doing a program. Let me share it out. You know, you're doing this. Let me help you. And so, you know, it really just comes down to relationships. And I think, you know, people are impatient and they want it too quickly.
That's me.
Yeah. And it just comes down to building relationships. And, rather than you just calling these people and saying, hey, do you have something? You know, maybe what you do now is you go show up and just say, hey, you know what?
Dude, that's all I'm doing right now. I'm going to a couple of venues a week, getting to know people. And the cool part is, a lot of these people actually do recognize me from when I first moved to Nashville. I came to Nashville to audition for an all-girl rock band called the Paper Dolls.
Yep.
And during that time, we opened up for anything. You know, it was like, I remember Johnny Cash would do this Rock for the Animals benefit. And we were usually one of the first couple of bands in the searing heat. We would start the program, and then by the end of the day, the bigger artists or whatever. But we opened up for everyone. And I finally got to a point, Frank, where I got tired, even though we had a little EP deal, record deal. The gigs we were getting were, you know, at mainly college campuses, opening up for bands like Candy Cream and the Wet Dream. I mean, come on. I couldn't even say that. I don't even know. I guess you can say anything on my podcast. But these other bands, I remember opening up for Red Hot Chili Peppers before anybody even knew who they were.
Yeah.
And the funny part is a lot of these people that were willing to sleep on couches and eat bar food and a broken down van and own your own equipment and all this stuff, a lot of them are still doing it and actually making some green. I just didn't have the stick-to-it-ness, which is what I'm hearing you say. You know, I'd been doing it for 8 years and I was tired of being hungry.
Yeah.
I like finer things in life. I wanted it. I wanted fame and fortune, you know, right away. And the thing is I didn't realize how much my foot was already in the door to the point where, you know, I knew Reba and Garth and the Dixie Chicks and all these people. I was invited to their events personally, things like that. And I look back on it now and go, well, damn, what was, you know, why didn't I stick with it? Why didn't I stick with it? And I think that's what I'm hearing you say is basically people want it overnight. They want that hole in one, you know, but I am pounding on doors.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I do know. Eventually someone's going to cave. Look at this. Just saying. I mean, for those of you who look on YouTube, I'm pointing at my own face. And the thing is when I'm saying, look at this, what I mean is I deliver. If you hire me to perform, people will show up. People will come and dance. People will sing in my face. You know, that I know. I've just got to show other people. I got to convince other people that that's the case. And I'm getting there. I've made a few friends now that are actually trying to help me maybe be a house band at one of the clubs or that type of thing. So here's my next question for you then. Enough about me. Oh no, this is more about me. If you had someone like me come along, and I'm not the realtor, I'm not the baker or whatever it is, the cabinet maker. I'm not doing all that stuff that's considered more mainstream and easy to market, supposedly, I'll put that in quotes. What would you do with somebody who specializes, like, you know, someone comes along, they make marionettes, or for example, me. I mean, how would you coach somebody like a singer-songwriter that has been out of it and trying to get back into it? What would be your words of wisdom, or how would you go about something like that?
Can I tell a story?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm a storyteller. I love it.
There's a famous anthropologist out there. Her name is Margaret Mead.
Yeah.
And she was teaching a class, and one of the students asked, what was the first sign of human civilization? people are speculating, was it fire? Was it clay pots? Was it language? What was it? Mm-hmm. And her answer was this, a healed femur. Now the femur is the bone that connects the knee to the hip. Mm-hmm. And she went on to explain in the animal world, when an animal breaks its femur or has its femur broken, it's a death sentence. It can't move. It can't forage. It can't protect itself. It dies. But when we came across humans where that bone had healed, which takes 6 to 8 weeks without modern medical care to heal, we knew somebody stayed behind to help that person.
Right.
So, Rue, I want you to think about this for a minute. And you have a situation where, in one of my alignable programs, I talk about this. You have a situation where there are four people and one of them is injured. Two sets of four people, one of them is injured. In the first group, three of the four say, sorry about your luck, we're leaving. Mm. Okay? And so those three people venture forth back in the time when it was very dangerous. Everything was dangerous, but there's only three of them. So it's likely that someone else got hurt, and then they're two, and then they're one, and then they're none, right?
Yeah.
But when the group of four, where three of them said, you know what? We care about you. And they probably didn't articulate it, but there was something inside them, something in their DNA that said, we're staying behind. We're going to delay our trip. We're going to stay behind. We're going to care for you for 6 to 8 weeks. Whatever that takes, we're going to care for you. Well, in that situation, not only did they venture forth as four people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is stronger, but they ventured forth with a fourth person who said, you know what? If something happens to these other three, I am staying behind.
Yeah.
And so what ended up happening is those, that DNA got passed on. Rue, that DNA is in your system and that's in my system. We are hardwired to want to help other people. We are hardwired to look for people who want to help us. It's there. So the reason I tell that story and coming back to you is, hey, how do I break in? You need to ask yourself, how can I help these people? You know, I'm going to this club. I'm going to go talk to the manager. Yeah, you want him to hire you.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe what you do is flip it and say, what do you have going on? And what can I help? How can I help you make what you're doing successful? Right? I'm here. If you need me, great. But even if you don't hire me, how can I help you make what you do successful?
Mm-hmm.
And he is hardwired to reciprocate somehow, some way. Maybe mm-hmm. not immediately. It might not be exactly what you want. But when there's an opening, you're going to think about you.
Now I got a story to tell you.
Okay.
So there's a club in Nashville. It was very famous for a very long time for singer-songwriters. One of the first clubs I ever sang in. With a guy I was dating, he played guitar and we did my original music. And it was called Douglas Corner. And during COVID, the owners just couldn't pay the rent anymore because, you know, nobody was showing up. They shut it down. And it broke all of our hearts. And everybody was trying to find a way to make it stay open. And we just couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. We didn't know COVID was going to go on as long as it did. Well, it sat empty for quite a while. Then someone came along, they purchased it, bought it outright. Someone who's a singer-songwriter, actually really good singer-songwriter, because I heard him perform. And another friend of mine who has co-written a lot of Garth's big hits was telling me, you know, that, oh, it's this private club and they don't let bands play there. You know, you've got to pay or you've got to give them a guarantee, da 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 da. And I was like, what can I do to play at this place? Somebody tells me I can't. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try harder. Well, I found out that they did a Tuesday karaoke, first Tuesday of the month karaoke. So I invited some of my friends that love to dance and sing to come with me to check it out because I wanted to first do my homework and see what the sound system was like. And I walk in and I can't believe the makeover of this place. Now, if you know me, if you've known me for a while, you know that I like pretty things. Okay, so the whole thing is done up with antique chairs and these bougie pillows, and even walking in, it's got those little chains hanging that you got to walk through and all the stuff. And I'm like, dang, this place is cute. I likes it. It's classy. And then the karaoke guy comes out there and I sign up, like the first person that's going to sing other than the owner who came up there and started it off. But I noticed that he was singing on a microphone. He was singing harmonies. So after I got off stage, I said, hey, I could do the higher harmonies with you. Would that be cool? And he goes, you've got a great voice. I would love for you to help me with this. So I start singing with him. And then every time anybody comes up, we're doing the harmonies. I notice his bucket is empty. So I take his little bucket and I go around and I collect money. And I come back and we stay for probably another hour or so because two of my friends had driven in from Chattanooga and they got an hour or so to get back home. And so I said, I'm coming back the following Tuesday. And I said, and he gave me his card and I gave him mine. And then I got to thinking, I went, they start at 8. My band could come and play from 7 to 8. I've got all these friends that'll come dance. They don't even have to pay us. So I'll just pass a bucket, give my guy some booze, whatever. And so I started talking to the DJ. And he talked to the owner. And the owner at first said no. And then he told him a little bit about my background. So he goes, I'm working on him. And it's not going to happen this next first Tuesday. But he's working on me getting my foot in the door the next Tuesday. So I'm excited because I'll get to do some originals, some covers. But I think that kind of fits your story where I'm just not giving up. And I'm finding those people that are actually willing to help me out. And it's funny when you talk about the femur, because as some of you know, my right femur was shattered by a bullet during a terrorist attack. And I was told I'd never walk again. And they couldn't go in and take the bullet out. My whole leg would have come apart. So basically, I had a custom-made prosthesis, which you tighten it.
Right.
And, never walk again. I ran the Boston Marathon after that, y'all. Because you can't tell me that I can't do something. Now, I got to work on the patience part. I mean, am I being a bulldozer because I want to make things happen? Or is that part of what actually creates the success?
I don't know. I don't know enough about the situation. Patience is key. Things work at their own pace. People develop trust. I don't know. Hmm. So that wouldn't be my style, but that if it works for you, it works for you.
I begin to wonder sometimes if people run the other way when they see me coming. That's, I guess, why I was saying that, because I'm that person. If I really want something, please don't tell me I can't have it, but I'm not going to be mean about it. And yes, I helped this karaoke guy out. I mean, I did. He didn't have a dollar in his bucket, and he had over 60 by the time I left anyway.
Right.
So I'm definitely a team player. And I think that's part of it too. I was vetting some people in for a Facebook group that a friend of mine has. I was helping her out. And I can't tell you how many people were so appreciative that I took the time to discuss with them, whether it was just a messenger or I jumped on a call with them for 5 to 10 minutes. And they were like, wow, I was beginning to feel like nobody in the world cared about me. That I'm out here just floating in this reality and nobody sees me or hears me, or they all think I'm crazy or whatever. I mean, I'll go into it a little bit further. This is a group for psychic mediums. And the biggest concern seems to be, am I really getting the right information? Do I trust this? What's really going on here?
Right.
And to have someone say, hey, you know what? You're not crazy. Hey, I grew up with this capacity or whatever, and I had this happen, but I can see why you would be nervous, afraid someone's going to stick you in the loony bin. Sometimes it's just that conversation that gets somebody back on track again, where they actually believe in themselves. And that's the part I like, helping people, know that they're okay. They're going to be okay. I mean, I look at my story and I'm thinking, if I can get through all the stuff I went through and be coined the happiness lady, told I'd never walk again. My ex starts a family with somebody else. Basically found somebody to rob my house while I wasn't here to get all the marital furniture. I mean, this is one thing right after the other. And I'm like, oh, that's good. It looks like he was never here. I mean, I always found the glass half full. It's like even with the terrorists, sometimes I've been known to say, those terrorists did me a favor. They got me out of a really bad marriage and a bad business partnership. All the stuff. So you said you bought the company within what, 5 years or something? Or
well, this is all back in the early 2000s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it happened a long time ago. Yeah.
Well, it seems like it's thriving. I do want to know more about it. We might have to make you a repeat offender. I'm not sure.
Okay.
All the stuff. But if you wanted to leave my listeners with something, some advice or words of wisdom, what would that be?
You know, people always ask me, you know, what's the one thing I can be doing to get myself networked quickly? And mm-hmm. I tell them, find something you're passionate about and go volunteer. Maybe mm-hmm. it's a school, or maybe it's, you know, homelessness, whatever. Find an organization, volunteer, and you're going to be rubbing elbows with other people who care. You're going to be demonstrating that you care. Again, we're all looking for people who care, mm-hmm. Care about other people. Those are the people we want in our worlds. And those are the people we will end up helping. Right. You know, and it's, you know, it kind of dovetails into the whole essence of this podcast, choosing happiness. You know, I have lots of conversations with people, and they'll say, you know, when I'm having a down day, I just find somebody to help. It doesn't mm-hmm. change what's happened in my world, but I just feel better about life. Mm-hmm. And there's something to that, you know?
Feels good.
So
I love it. Okay. And then, of course, it is called the Choosing Happiness Podcast. So I'm sure my listeners would love to know how you get your happy on. What do you do just for you to get your happy on?
Oh, just for me? Oh,
just
boy.
For you.
Yeah.
You can keep doing the equation now.
Yeah. I mean, I love to go to the movies. I love to go to the movies. I've written a couple novels, and I'm working on a third, and I enjoy putting headphones on and just picking away at writing a novel. And just, you know, I don't know how this, they end up being about 600 pages. So, I mean, I'm about a third through the third one. And, you know, it's just, it's my own little fantasy world, and you know, create characters. And so, yeah, that would be it.
I didn't realize we had that in common. So cool.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, it has been an absolute delight having you on the podcast. This has been a wonderful conversation. I'm sure it's going to help a lot of people. And I already know a few people personally that I'm going to send this conversation to.
If you
all enjoyed it, or you know someone that could benefit, and this would be a contribution to them, please share this podcast episode with them. And if you like it, you hit the subscribe button, and you'll know whenever I've got one dropping. Yeah, it's every Thursday, by the way, y'all. And all the things. And we're going to make sure we have all the information in the show notes of where you can find Frank. I know you've got to have websites and all kinds of things. I met you on Alignable, which is interesting because I barely jump on there. But lately, I've been finding some wonderful gatherings and this type of thing. And you were definitely one of those for me. So I appreciate you so much for what you're doing for the world. And thank you for being a guest. And until next time, y'all. Ciao, ciao for now.
Thank you so much for choosing happiness. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, share, and give us a like. And if you want more happy, subscribe to the Choosing Happiness membership, where you can play directly with me, Rudrani Devi, the Happiness Lady. How does it get any better than that?